We're talking this morning about a divine breakthrough, something that took place that was the result of tremendous planning and effort. Long before this earth was ever made, God had you and me in mind. God planned a beautiful redemption, a way, a means of making himself real to us, a means of restoration and bringing us back to himself. I think of the purpose of God and God's intention for us. You know, one of the reasons why people get into trouble in studying the Bible and oftentimes go down a blind alley for a while and wonder just where they are, and oftentimes are confused. And then also the reason why there may be so many, many different interpretations for the same scripture is because people fail to realize what God's intention is for them. They fail to realize what it is that God is wanting to do, what he plans to do, and their interpretation and explanation may be all right as in a technical sense of the word. But when it comes to the actual purpose behind it all, it takes on a little different meaning when you see it in action and actually moving. God's great plan for his people was that of reconciling his people unto himself. You see, man had many barriers between he and God. God's plan was the removal of all of the barriers. That first big barrier was the barrier of sin. It stood as a mountain, as a wall, regardless of how good man made himself, regardless of whether man found a key of taking away the other things, the mounds that stood between him and God. He still couldn't get there because there was one big barrier left. And even today, people are trying somehow or other to make themselves good and move that direction without accepting this one facet of God's plan, reconciliation. God said, I must remove that big mountain of sin so that I can have fellowship with man, so that man can come, so that my wrath can turn away. And this God did. He reconciled the world by the death of Jesus himself. Then another barrier, after the mound of sin was removed, there were the records of sin written on the hearts of people and written in heaven. So God in his beautiful plan said, I'm destroying those records. And he did. This was planned, part of his beautiful plan. This he called justification. So that I'm going to count that person just as though it had never, never happened. Hallelujah. My good sister. Now, I mentioned her this morning. She's here, this service. I'm not going to tell you who she is. I probably should, but I won't. Told me that she had fallen flat on her face 10 times in the last couple of weeks trying to serve God. Just didn't make it. I just spoiled everything. And I hate to come back to God again. Hate to come back again. What will God think of me? He can tell me, when are you ever going to quit failing? I've had to forgive you 10 times, 9 times already the last 2 weeks. She was really concerned. She said, I don't know whether God will come again or not. So I was real glad that I could tell her, God doesn't know he forgave you 9 times the past 2 weeks. All he remembers is, right now, when you come, he said, here's someone that needs some help. When God justifies you, when God forgives you, God forgets that He forgives you. I want you to think about that. Forgiveness wouldn't be complete if God still remembered that He forgave him. But He forgets that He forgave you. He said, I take it off my records, I pull it out of my memory. So you're free, you're clean. Then the third great barrier was the barrier of pollution. And so God, in His great plan, devised a scheme by the cleansing, the constant cleansing of His blood to rid the human life of pollution so that we could face Him. Then He said, those poor people down there are carrying around in their lives the curse of sin. The weaknesses that have come about through the fall, through sin. And that curse is a tremendous barrier to them. The seeds of death within them. So God's great plan and purpose all the way through was to remove from us this curse. Then He said, I want man close to me now. And so He removed the distance, that separating barrier of distance. So God's plan for our lives is to bring us to Himself. Hallelujah. This is it. To bring us to Himself. One of the things that I wanted to mention this morning, we're going to all turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Incidentally, I found my notes, which I probably won't need now because I'm going down a little different trail, but we'll get some of the things here anyhow. Chapter 2, he tells us how this great plan is in operation and what's happening to it and what it means to you because it's in operation. Oh, hallelujah. And I would like to have you take your pen and make a circle around that word you. If you want it out in the margin, you could somehow or other identify yourself there so that you could know that this was something that personally affects you. God is making reference to your own personal life. Every individual is included in His plan. And you hath He quickened who are dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, and for His great love wherewith He loved us, here's His plan. But God, that changed the whole thing. For His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us. I want you to underline the word quickened there. That word quickened actually means made alive. You as He made alive. He used it in one other spot up here. We've been made alive. But that word, quicken, is life. He hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. See, His plan was for us and unfolding down through those centuries. It is in operation right now as we're part of His plan. But it keeps on going way down there a million years from now. He's going to be showing all of the other people and the angels and everyone that's there in the ages to come. He might keep showing you the beautiful storehouse of riches, the things He's prepared for those that love Him. He let Paul take a little walk into one of them, and Paul says, "You'll never believe it." He said, "It hasn't entered into the heart of man, and your eyes have never seen anything like that. And in the wildest stories, you've never heard anything like that. But it's God has prepared it for you." Once in a while, he said, you can stand a little bit, and he'll by the flow of His Spirit, He'll peel back a little bit of the curtain of it and say, "Hey, take a look. God has revealed it to us by His Spirit." Praise the Lord. Oh, what a wonderful plan that the Lord had for us. This plan, as it unfolds, God intends for us to know about it. He intends, in this great breakthrough that He had, He intends for us to actually experience His divine life, His divine touch. There are many, many different faiths, different philosophies, where people say, you must take it by faith. People who are glory seekers are looking the wrong direction. And you're looking for the wrong thing if you're just looking for experience. In fact, there are people right here in town that talk about you when you're not there and say, those people, they just are too lazy or don't have enough faith to take it by faith. They have to ask God for some kind of an experience. Oh, why not? If God's plan for you included a beautiful experience of His love and of His presence, why not ask Him for that experience? Jesus' mission in coming to this earth, you read in that fourth verse, was to come and bring life to us even when we were dead in sin. Now this, the coming of this life has been made very, very real to me just in recent months. The past 2 years especially, I've seen it, a greater flow of this life. People coming to me and coming to others in this church. In fact, this whole church is like a living dynamo. But I speak primarily of those that I may minister to during the week because I'm so close to it and I see what God is doing there. I have watched people as they have come, many of them with deep lines in their forehead because of fear and worry. Their eyes dulled or filled with fear. And I have watched them as Jesus moved the way that happened. And in place of the coldness and the fear and the death, life began to show. Hallelujah. I've seen those lying foreheads become absolutely smooth. This isn't just a figure of speech. This actually happens. And many of you out here this morning, you know it has happened with you. I've seen others who were troubled by things that they couldn't change. The circumstances were unbearable. They said, we can't take it another day, another minute. But as God activated or shared with them something very special from His own heart, the circumstances didn't change, but they changed. They were lifted up above them. Where the weight of the thing was not upon them, they were able to see the direction to go, and they left still facing the problem, but stepping high with a real victorious note in their voice, words of praise on their lips, defeating the enemy. People have come in absolutely defeated, bound by enemy power. But because of what Jesus is doing, they have left that office completely free. Free from alcoholism. Free from tobacco poisoning. Free from drug addiction. Free from bitterness and hate of the years. Oh, what a life. People that have already known the Lord. People that have already been walking with Him. They've already been reconciled. They've already been cleansed. But they've been carrying some marks that the Lord has a plan and has included in His great plan to remove. Praise God forevermore. And I've wondered, just what is God doing? How does this fit into His plan? It seems to be such a simple thing. I know God wants to do this for people, but it seemed as though for so many years we had given other means and other areas of tapping what God has. But today, I wanted to give you a little picture of something that is so special. I wondered about this. Because I've sat back and I've told others, we're just watching. God's given us a front row. I can't put this into an equation or formula. I can't say it's because we're doing something different, doing something right that we haven't done before. But God has let us see Him at work in a very beautiful way. And I wondered, God, what is this? I tried to relate it to things that we claim. There's salvation. There's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There's the times of renewal. But it's not any of those. What is it, God? And it wasn't until a few months ago that I pulled out some yellowing pieces of paper that I had in one of my desk drawers where I had written down some truths that God gave me by inspiration. I've mentioned this to you in the past. For those that maybe may not have heard this, God ministered to me one entire night and talked to me about the power of the blood and what the blood has done. And He talked about the forgiveness by the blood, the justification by blood, reconciliation by blood, all of these beautiful things, the cleansing by blood, sanctification by blood, the assurance of heaven by blood, that by His own blood He opened up heaven. He went into the very presence of God and He opened the heart of God because of His own blood. Oh, there were so many truths. 200 verses that God gave me, and He kept them in my mind until I was able to write them all down. And I took out these pages and looked at them. And as I was reading them, God let me see something that I had read. And I thought it was wonderful when I put it down, but it didn't have the same meaning. Because God was letting me see something there that He was going to start doing in a very special way now. And I looked at that and I related to it. I didn't realize really what sanctification was. I have heard one group say sanctification is eradication of the old nature. Another group says sanctification is the putting to death of the old man. Another group says, without a whole lot of explanation, sanctification means being set apart. Someone else says it means cleansing. Another person says it means victory over sin. And I had a theory, and it was good. And this hasn't changed it at all, except that it's given a whole lot more light. That the sanctification was the constant freedom from sin, cleansing from sin, just because we're tied in with the bloodstream of Jesus. But as I read these notes that John definitely put in my heart, and just now that I had a base to relate to what I've seen God do, I saw what sanctification was. Because on these pages, God ministered to me and asked me questions about sanctification, which it didn't seem through good at that time. Many, many beautiful verses on sanctification. And then the conclusion that came right out of his heart that I wrote down is that sanctification is God's great breakthrough in adapting his life to the human body. I wish I would have dug those papers out before. Maybe they wouldn't have meant as much. But then as I would watch people, and as I still watch them, as God ministers to them, and there's that tingle and that surge. And this act of sanctification takes place many times. It isn't just a one shot, a second definite work of grace, or an eradication of the old nature, or a single cleansing. It's something that happens whenever you move into that presence, and God, through his divine pipeline, pours into your life of his life. Hallelujah. It happens without us really knowing about it. But when we know about it, it somehow or other puts some spring in your step, because it really means so much. Praise God forevermore. Now, how does this relate to these other teachings? Does it make them obsolete, or does it make them false? No. These things that you've heard are tied in with it, but they are the results of sanctification. They're the results of Jesus' life within you. That power to live above sin, that people who may have felt that sanctification had something to do with their own efforts or their arrival, and the only way they could have a life of victory was for themselves to be dead, are discovering and have discovered that though they thought they were dead, there were failures and problems cropping up all the time in their life. So death wasn't the answer. Jesus had something more important than that. You know what he tells us? Life is the answer. Sanctification then isn't death. Sanctification is life, adapted to your life. Praise God. And many of you folk, hundreds of you right now, are experiencing victories in your life that you struggled with, problems that you struggled with day after day after day to try and overcome. But as that dynamic surge of the life of Jesus goes through you, you find that you can tread on these things, that you can climb those mountains as though you have eagle's wings. Praise God. Because it's the life of Jesus within you. Praise God. You see, the problem we have so often, if we know God's intention, God's whole intention in his plans before he ever made this world, God's intention is summed up in this, that those people will share my life. That's his intention. When you know what God's intending to do, then all the things that go along with it, you can fit, and they have new and wonderful meaning to you. But when we take a word and we say, now I'm going to find out what this teaching really means here by analyzing the word and so on, you have a correct analysis of the word. For example, I've been thinking about football. I watched a game yesterday. Anybody see that game? I saw a little bit of game on TV. Was it yesterday or the day before? I haven't seen a football game for so long, and I don't get to watch very much of anything on TV because there's too many things to do for God. But I watched these guys. I think it was yesterday. But don't be ashamed to put up your hand if you saw it, because around here we don't care if you watch football. But I was watching those guys, and I tell you, there were some beautiful, the execution of some beautiful plays. One fellow in particular, boy, he was a passer. Zing, he'd throw that ball. I don't know how the guy they was throwing to managed to get out in the clear like he did, but he caught some beautiful passes. But I saw about, looked like 60,000 people, almost act like a bunch of madmen, crazy. They about lost their minds. And the reason they about lost their minds is, according to the announcer, somebody made a touchdown. Now, if you were to take somebody from a foreign country that wasn't interested in sports, didn't know anything about football, and they were to look at the paper and get out their dictionaries and analyze this foreign language of America and say, now, what does this say here? Football, what is this? What's happened here? They've scored. What did they do to score? Well, we read here that they had a touchdown. We've got to find out what there is about this touchdown that would make 60,000 people almost turn wild. And so they start getting out their dictionaries. Touch. Make light contact. Down. That means make light contact somewhere down. So, we know the purpose now of football. To take a little leather ball and make light contact with the earth. And so, folks, come out and hear our explanation of football. But the thing that we can't figure out is why a little thing like that would make 60,000 people get so excited. Light contact with Earth. But you know, those guys out there doing battle knew there was something more. That was the end. That was the goal. That was the result of a lifetime of discipline, of practice, of physical conditioning, of bruises, of miles of tape, of commands and orders and frustration. My wife and I know about this. Because for about 12 or 13 years, we sweat. We go down, we watch. And we watch the struggles of behemoths as they cracked into each other. For what? Day after day, we fed Ted protein. A whole lot of other stuff, too. In fact, my brother one time said he was 245 pounds of peanut butter. But the We think of all the struggles that go into it with one main thing in mind, to win. And the winning came when either that bullet pass found its target and that fellow streaked away into the end zone, or someone was able to break a few tackles, like Ken Johnson here, seeing him do, stepping on people's heads and backs and everything else. He moved into the end zone. To those 60,000 fans, to the people that are in there grinding it out, working so hard, there's something that they're aiming toward. It's that little white chalk line. 6 points to help get some more. They want to win. But that person that doesn't know anything about football, what on earth? Touchdown. Why get excited? Do you know that the emphasis or the meaning could be right? The ball was touched down. The ball was touched down. 6 points, a score. But the same thing is true when I think of the word sanctification. Sanctification. I take out the dictionary and I find set apart. A lot of people are happy. Well, it means set apart. Set apart sounds like touchdown to me. Without the rest of it. Set apart. Set apart from sin. Set apart to God. But when I go back and I see the plan of God that He made before the earth, His great game plan. Hallelujah. And I asked God, what is your purpose in all this that you're doing? And He said, touchdown. I have a plan. Oh, hallelujah. I think of the other people that are parts of the plan. The prophets of old and the different ones, the parts of the team as the work went forward. And then finally, on that day when Jesus carried the cross instead of a ball, and He broke the last tackle, and He went across the line, I can hear the angels up there in heaven saying, shouting and cheering, touchdown, Jesus scored. We're number one. The enemy's defeated. Hallelujah. What was your purpose, Jesus? What was the purpose? What was the purpose of breaking down the barrier so that you could shake hands with man? What was the purpose of destroying the records? What was the purpose of this cleansing? He said, my purpose was that I might score. And what was my score? To take my life and inject it into you, that you might be partakers of the divine life. Hallelujah. 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 That's it. When you think of sanctification, think more of set apart. That injection of His divine life doesn't mean that you're not set apart. It means that you can be set apart. It means that because you have that divine life in you, you have power over sin. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And it gives you something to cheer about. Sanctification then is not death. It's life. His life. Praise God. Praise God. Don't you love Him? Oh, hallelujah. Jesus did it for you. And all the angels in heaven are rejoicing when you open yourself up and you let His life begin to move through you. When you feel that joy and that lift, when you feel cool breezes from heaven, there's a lot of different sensations that people get. But in this life, there are definitely some physical sensations. You know that I feel that the idea that we're not to be emotional as believers is a cop-out for a bunch of people. that don't know how to spell touchdown. Why, they go down to the football field and they get emotional. And the greatest win in the world is nothing compared with the win that God's given us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I believe there may be some here this morning. You've had an experience with God. You know that you've accepted Him. Your sins are forgiven. But somehow or other, you've shied away from making yourself available for this flow of divine life. Oh, there are ways that the Lord does this. I'm going to mention these real quickly. I told you I might just do a little rambling if I got away from these notes and I got clear away from them. I want you to know that. But in 1 Corinthians 6:11, He tells us that we are sanctified by the name of Jesus. We share His life. And I didn't realize this until it hasn't been, like I said, very long. I didn't know really what happened. But the name of Jesus becomes this pipeline through which God pours His divine life. And as you really mean it and call out, Jesus, 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 surging into you comes that divine life, because the Lord has already won the battle. The enemy is defeated. Praise God. Another means of bringing this life, and they all work together and making it real to us, is the blood of Jesus Christ. He speaks of this. And then, in Exodus 29:43, this is one of the verses that God had me put down at that time. Exodus 29:43, that when the tabernacle was completed, the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. But what it says here is that the glory of the Lord sanctified the tabernacle. It made the tabernacle come alive because God was there. But do you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? And the glory of God from heaven, that mighty move, that charismatic power that caused you to sing and to laugh and to be free and have victory over the devil, that's the glory of God. You share His divine life when you live in that glory. This was God's plan. This was His intention for you all the way through His dealings with the children of Israel. He said, Israel, when you camp, I want you to camp in my glory. God, where the cloud stops. When you move, I want you to move with the glory, because it's your life. Hallelujah. And the glory of God still brings our life to us. And that rich glory that you feel this morning is bringing you life. There is life in Jesus' name. There is life in Jesus' name. What happens then? As we said, this is the culmination, the capstone of what God has done. And the amazing thing, as the life of Jesus flows through people, He takes care of many, many other things. Most of the healings that take place in my office, and even in this church, in the auditorium where people are healed, where they're seated, there we do not know about. They haven't told us. Or if they have, prayer may not be going up for that need at the time. I haven't asked God to heal them. I didn't know about it. They didn't ask God, but they just called the name of Jesus and the life flowing down through them as it circulated, as it lifted the load, as it broke the chains going down through them. That life finds things that may not be right, and He writes them. Hallelujah. He destroys the seeds of death within us, brings that life to Jesus. Praise God. Well, how long is this going to last? I'm going to tell you something that might kind of shake some of you up. But do you know that this life of Jesus, even though you still may have plenty of problems, you may still stub your toe once in a while, you're not in heaven yet, but as far as God is concerned, you read it in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10 to 14, that this sacrifice of Jesus, this great accomplishment that He had that made all of the angels in heaven stand in awe as He completed the work, He said, this great accomplishment has perfected forever those who share his life. Oh, but you say, I'm not perfect. His blood, his life is perfect. Hallelujah. And God is looking at the life of Jesus in you. And you were accepted in him. Praise God. One more verse that I would like to give you is 1 Corinthians 1:30. Now, I'm going to read this verse, then we're going to have a word of prayer together. I just have so many, many verses here that I'm going to share them with you some other time. But you see, the glory of God brings us to the heavenly places that he has for us. This is the life of Jesus. And he tells us of the fullness of God, that of his fullness have we all received. This is that life again that we read about. And the beautiful effects of the life of Jesus. It makes us like Jesus. Partakers of the divine nature. Praise God. Grace and peace. An unmerited blessing in the peace where we can settle down now and let the storms rage. And all of these unearned blessings that are ours, that the conscience that's been plagued by unsuccessful works can finally rest. You read this in Hebrews 9:14. You can rest again. Now this verse over here in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 30 tells us what Jesus did for you. But of him are ye in Christ. In Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification, our life, and redemption. Jesus becomes all that we need. Hallelujah. I would like for you to write down somewhere in your Bible or someplace, write it down, the definition that God gave me for sanctification. The adaption of the divine life to the human body. So we can have his life not only in our spirits, but in our human dealings, our human emotions, our soul, and in our physical life, our body. Adapting the life of heaven to us. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. You feel kind of excited about what Jesus did? Hey, listen. Since all of heaven is shouting, touchdown. And those angels are so excited and cheering him. I think that we ought to just raise our voices in some loud praise and shout your praise however you want to do it. If you want to say three cheers for Jesus, you can do it. If you want to say hallelujah along with those angels, you can do it. Or if you just want to say praise God, it's so good. Or if you, whatever you say when you get excited. If you want to jump up and down and click your heels together like you do when you see something that makes you excited, go ahead and do it. If you want to clap your hands, well, do that. Or if you just want to yell a big old loud whoopee, you're not going to worry God because he's here and he hears plenty of it and the angels are doing it. Praise God. Let's just stand together and lift your hands toward heaven and let God know that you're enjoying his life, not death. But his life today. Praise God. Oh, Jesus, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for your richness, for your blessing, for what it means. Praise the name of the Lord. Oh, Jesus. Jesus, may your life flow like a mighty river through this place as we call on thy wonderful name. As we share your glory, may we share that life. Oh, we praise you. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the wonderful name of Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Because He lives, you live. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ted, would you come and lead us? I live because you are risen. And let's really get into this and reach our hearts out to Him and enjoy that life today. God, praise God, praise God. I wonder this morning if there are some that have never found Jesus real, but your heart has been searching and longing, and somewhere, sometime you hope to have this experience. You want something more than religion, but you want life in Jesus' name. Or you may have come this morning and Jesus has already met you, and you'd like to let Him know that today you sense His life and you've reached out and taken it. Whether you have already this morning or if you've come searching, would you lift your hand right now and let Jesus see it? And God's going to share His life with you all over the building. Yes, I see these hands in the balcony. Yes, throughout this center section. How about to my left? Lord is watching. He cares. Yes, I see several hands. How about over here? Yes, God bless these women. Are there some men over here? Lord has spoken. You want that definite life. I wonder if there are some that have struggled in their Christian life and you failed to find that victory, and it seemed like failure after failure. But today, you see that there is a door of hope and you want more of that life. How about you responding with an upraised hand? People that want more victory in their life and have it through this life. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Jesus, you see each heart, each individual life that's here. And I believe that you've performed miracles already. Dear Lord, there are some hands that have been lifted. That desire and hunger for this experience. They don't want a mere act. They want an experience. They want life. Jesus, I pray today that because you're here and they are here, I ask that your hand will touch them. And as their heart cries out to you now, may that life be poured into their beings. Oh, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, dear Lord, may that glory of heaven so fill us and surround us through this day, oh God, that life will be more meaningful and better because of the life of Jesus within us. Hallelujah. We're glad for the goal that you made, that you reached. We're glad that you're planning. And your great purpose unfolded. And that today we have this victory. I give everyone to you now. I ask that you'll bring us back to your house again tonight. In Jesus' name. Just before you go, I would like to say that there may be some that have question marks in their mind or want to know more. Don't hesitate to call the church office. Make an appointment. Come on in and let God finish up what He's gotten started for you.